I'm back. It's good to be here with you live tonight. This is a live edition of the Trish Regan Show, back from sunny Florida, and we got a lot to talk about, do we not? Welcome everyone to the show. Again, I'm Trish. Been away for a couple days, but still very much on the news, and it just keeps coming. It just keeps on coming. I want to remind you that we're brought to you in part by our wonderful friends over at legacypminvestments.com, 1-866-589-0560. That is their phone number. They can help you out. They can hook you up. If you're worried about inflation, as you know I am, as I have rightly been, then, and you probably are too, then talk to them, because gold is a wonderful way of helping to diversify your investment strategy. Really, something I've done myself for many years. Anyway, we get some stuff going on because it seems that Donald Trump doesn't like the way some members of the media are portraying what went down or didn't go down with Jean Carroll, and he's now suing as a result. We've got that to talk about. Melania's weighing in. She's going to talk about whether or not she's going to be on the campaign trail. We'll get to that. Disney, which, by the way, is getting sued by Donald Trump, because you see, ABC News is owned by Disney. Well, Disney's still kind of at it. To Bob Iger and Nelson Peltz, two billionaires. Well, Bob's not a billionaire. Nelson Peltz is. And he's like, you're not running this business well. And so there's this war going on. And I got to tell you, one of them made a move that I just don't think is really going to work. And Kate Middleton video, that has surfaced as well. I mean, oh my gosh, I really don't care about the royals, and this poor woman just, you know, let her live her life. But it's getting a little bit weird, is it not? We will discuss everything. If you haven't, make sure that you sign up for the channel by liking, subscribing, and hitting that bell so that you know when I'm live here, which is usually every single day. Ladies and gentlemen, Donald Trump's not having it. He is taking Disney and ABC News and the anchor, George Stephanopoulos, to task, shall we say, to task, because he says, you can't say that about me. This is a form of defamation. He's suing them because of one of the questions that this anchor asked Nancy Mace just a weekend or two ago. See, he's talking about a fast news cycle, as I just was. Anyway, let's take a look.
And you've endorsed Donald Trump for president. Mm-hmm. Judges and two separate juries have found him liable for rape and for defaming the victim of that rape. How do you square your endorsement of Donald Trump with the testimony we just saw?
Well, I will tell you, I was raped at the age of 16. And any rape victim will tell you, I've lived for 30 years with an incredible amount of shame over being raped. I didn't come forward because of that judgment and shame that I felt. And it's a shame that you will never feel, George. And I'm not going to sit here on your show and be asked a question meant to shame me about another potential rape victim. I'm not going to do that.
It's actually not about shaming you. It's a question about Donald
Trump.
No,
you are shaming me.
You've endorsed Donald Trump for president.
Right.
Donald Trump has been found liable for rape by a jury. Donald Trump has been found liable for defaming the victim of that rape by a jury. It's been affirmed by a judge.
It was not a criminal court case, number one. Number two, I live with shame. And you're asking me a question about my political choices, trying to shame me as a rape victim, and I find it disgusting. And quite frankly, E. Jean Carroll's comments, when she did get the judgment, joking about what she was going to buy, it makes it harder for women to come forward when they make a mockery out of rape, when they joke about it.
Doesn't it make it harder for women to come forward when they...
It makes it harder when other women joke about it, and she's joked about it. I find it offensive. And I also find it offensive that you're trying to shame me with this question.
I'm not trying to shame you.
You are.
Well, in fact, I
have dealt with this for 30 years. You know how hard it was to tell my story 5 years ago when they were doing a fetal heartbeat bill and there were no exceptions for rape, incest, rape or incest in there? I had to tell my story because no other woman was coming forward.
I'm just asking.
No rape victims were represented. And you're trying to shame me this morning.
I'm just asking.
And I find it offensive. And this is why women won't come forward.
Women won't come forward because they're defamed by those who perpetrate rape.
They are judged and they're shamed. And you're trying to shame me this morning.
I'm
I think it's disgusting.
I'm not shaming you at all.
I told my story. It took me 25 years to tell my story. I was judged for it. I still get judged for it today.
I'm asking you a very simple question.
And I answered it. You're shaming me for my political choices.
Wow. Okay, so you heard what George Stephanopoulos was saying. Let me go back to not exactly a conservative news source, and that would be USA Today, to talk about this issue. It says that when E. Jean Carroll and Donald Trump went to trial last spring over her sexual assault allegations, a 9-person civil jury found that Trump had sexually abused her, but that she failed to prove he raped her. So, I mean, I can't believe we're talking about this. I can't believe I have to talk about this. I can't believe we're going to squabble over this. I mean, really? You know? But there is a distinction, and the word choice here indeed does matter. And I bet you legally it's going to matter too. This is not good news for Disney. It goes on to say that the former president made hay of that distinction when he sued Carol in June, alleging Carol defamed him by saying she was raped in a media interview after the verdict. The counterattack, however, was quickly shot down. But nonetheless, in other words, what they found and what he has to pay the $86 million on is actually defamation. That's actually, or $83.3 million. It's the defamation that he was saying, oh, you know, she's this, she's that, she's this, she's that. And now he's saying, wait a second, ABC News, you defamed me. So now he's suing ABC. And you know what, guys, this is a big deal because this is a kind of precedent, if you would, for what we're going to see from the media going forward. In other words, if the media thinks it can say whatever it wants to say and it can throw terms around that, you know, according to the, it's, shall we say, they're imprecise terms at the very least, all right? That's given Georgie boy over there at ABC the benefit of the doubt. Well, if that's the case, then they're going to start saying this over and over and over again. I mean, Kara Swisher, who's a technology reporter, was on CNN promising this one. Maybe Trump should sue her too. Watch.
Greatest asset, the shamelessness of him, is then Biden has to get in there very hard and go rapist, racist, fascist, over and over and over again. And then the trials are happening at the same time. He's just had to pay. He's just $93 million right. poor right now. And just hammer it in with those three things. Rapist, racist, fascist.
But here's the thing.
Thank
voters,
you. That's my... That's
voter,
my
voters have...
Because this is crazy too. But you heard Kara Swisher. So she's saying it. And CNN is there having her say this, right? I mean, she just said it. She said it a couple of times. And so you can understand from Trump's perspective, from the campaign's perspective as well, like, if they're going to throw around terms like this, then they better be prepared to go to court. He's serious. You're defaming me, he's saying. And by the way, there's the whole election interference thing, by the way, going on. Like, I mean, another topic for another day. There will be plenty of chances to talk about that. But in this particular case, you know what? He's got something. Now, they'll say, oh, he's a public figure, blah, 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 you know. But wait a second. How many times did George say that? I don't want to watch it again, but you guys get the idea, right? Like, he said it over and over and over again. So if George Stephanopoulos on ABC News can say this, if CNN and Kara Swisher and their little panel can keep saying this, if MSNBC, you know they're going to go there. They're like listening to what Kara's saying with bated breath. Oh my goodness, this is exactly right up their alley. So if they go there, at what point then, I guess he just sues them all. And they should be all put on notice. You know what? You're going to do this and you're going to defame. I mean, that's a big accusation, right? And given that the jury did not find exactly that, I think he's got a leg to stand on, ladies and gentlemen. And I think he's going to stand proud and tall, and he's going to tell them all to go take a hike. I'm going to sue the living daylights out of you. And I'll tell you, ABC News does not need that right now. I mean, heck, I'm waiting for the Whoopi lawsuit. You waiting for the Whoopi lawsuit because of the things that she said about him there? I mean, I get that someone is a political figure and, you know, we have our freedom of speech. There's no one that believes more passionately in it than me. But when you start throwing around language like they've been throwing around, like George Stephanopoulos threw around, well, you know what? That's pretty bad. I mean, he's got a family. He's got a wife. He's got a young son still. You wonder why nobody wants to be in politics, shall we say? I mean, hey, you could be out $500 million, ladies and gentlemen. That's what they want him to be out. Donald Trump's lawyers filing 5,000 pages today to say, okay, like, somebody's going to get this under control. And actually, I'm with him. Somebody's got to get it under control, because you cannot be running around saying, okay, it's going to cost you $500 million or you're going to jail or you have to sell all your assets. I mean, are we Venezuela? Because this feels very, very Banana Republic-esque, very USSR-esque. I mean, here's the deal. Okay, you either pay up. Well, by the way, it's being appealed, or we take your assets. Letitia James is on a mission to bankrupt the former president of the United States in hopes that he won't win, in hopes that he'll not be able to pay his bills and he'll have to sell everything he owns. I mean, this is getting crazy. Whatever you think about Trump. Okay, in all seriousness, like, whatever you think about Donald Trump, I don't care. You love him, you hate him. Does it not concern you that we have such rabid lawmakers, such as Fannie Willis down there in Fulton County, Georgia, doing one thing and saying another, right? And we have Letitia James, and then not to mention Jack Smith. I mean, we can get into all of them here, but Letitia James trying to say, I'm going to decide what I think your property is really worth. Yeah, I can make that decision better than your bank. I can make that decision better than you. I can make that decision because I have the authority to do so. As a political figure who was elected, by the way, do not forget, we've seen that tape over and over again, on Getting Trump. So Letitia James has a political vendetta to serve. She has her donors who want her to get Trump. And now she's out there doing exactly that and trying to force him to sell his assets so he can meet her $500 million. I mean, her and the judge. He's not blameless in this either. I mean, this is really weird, alarming. And I think the reality of all of it is it's going to actually help Donald Trump even more. You take a look at these polls, ladies and gentlemen, and you tell me, every single time they do this, guess what? He grows another couple points in the polls, because everyday Americans, independents even, are looking at this saying, okay, this isn't right. This is not good. It's why we need better policy. I'm telling you, you know, you may have seen our good friend Alfred Ortiz on the show just recently. He's just terrific. He has an organization that is really phenomenal. And I just want to give a plug to, I encourage you to go over to joinjcn.com, because Alfredo runs this and he gets what's going on. You look at what's happening in New York City and you have the state creeping into business. Well, JCN is all about small business owners. They want to make sure that you're protected from the likes of these political vendettas and people who will just use the law for those purposes. I mean, that is not a healthy place for America to be. And so Alfredo gets this. All the folks over at Join JCN get this, JCN, Job Creators Network. And they're working on a local level, on a grassroots level, with wonderful people all over the country. And they're really trying to do everything they can to protect business, small business. Because think about what we all went through during COVID. Think about how small business owners were affected. I mean, the big businesses, right? They're fine. You know, they get a line into everyone. But it's the small ones that really count. And when I see this kind of political shenanigan stuff going down in New York City or in Fulton County, Georgia, or frankly in D.C. with Jack Smith, it makes me very worried. And so I wanted to give a shout out to these guys because they just do great, great, great stuff. I will say this, you know what? Disney is increasingly in trouble. ABC News, owned by Disney, is increasingly in trouble. I'll tell you, ABC News did not need this happening at this particular point. They didn't need a lawsuit with Donald Trump. They didn't need him going after them for defamation or slander or whatever you want to call it when you call people names like that over and over again on television. They do not need this right now because they're in the midst of a battle, frankly, for their existence, certainly at ABC. I mean, Bob Iger told us last summer, he's the CEO of Disney, that he was looking to sell ABC and ESPN and some others. Funny enough, I was just looking at the Wall Street Journal today, and there's a front page story about how the ESPN boss is trying to remake the network. Why? Because you know what? Everybody's over here streaming. Everybody's doing this. Quick reminder, make sure you subscribe. This is the future. And so when you got these big, cumbersome networks like ABC News or even ESPN, which you'd think, oh, no brainer, you know, it's sports, it's going to do great. Well, guess what? It's not doing great. And so Bob Iger is trying to fix all this. And he's trying to fix it, if you ask me, with two hands tied behind his back because of the staff he has, whether you're talking about George Stephanopoulos and the staff at, what is it called, This Week on Sunday over there at ABC. George, by the way, used to work for, don't forget, Hillary Clinton. I see some of you are messaging about this. Actually, Bill Clinton. So he's like in tight with the Clintons, and he's got his obvious political bias that is quite on display. But they didn't need this. Disney didn't need this at a time like this because they are fighting basically for control of the company. Bob Iger, he's the CEO. He's trying to do what he can, right? He brought a new CFO in. Let's look at these. Let's get rid of ABC. Let's get rid of The View. And they can't get rid of it fast enough. Let's sell it. My sources have told me that there have been meetings between Nexstar Communications and ABC News. So maybe they pick it up. Maybe they get the whole ABC network. Good luck. I actually think that you're going to see a lot of change if that happens. But it's, you know, unfortunately for anybody who buys it, kind of a dying medium. Now, you can still make money on it, so they're still willing to take that chance, obviously. And I think a lot of private equity shops will look at this, and a lot, Nexstar, maybe some other communication companies, they'll look at it, and they'll find a way to squeeze profits out, which means, Georgie, you may not have such a big salary. Whoopee, you may not have such a big salary. You may not have a job. We'll see, because again, this medium is changing. But the other thing that just happened today is, like, I think they can't get out of their own way because of their staff, whether it be George, whether it be Whoopee, or whether it be their new directors at Star Wars. George Lucas just came out today. You know, he's the big Star Wars guy, right? And he is defending Bob Iger, as Bob Iger, the CEO of Disney, is trying to make sure that Nelson Peltz, the billionaire investor who's trying to tell Disney, you know, this is not really working. You guys ought to go back to the well and try and just actually make good stories and good movies and entertain people and maybe do a few less sequels and maybe do a little less PC nonsense. Anyway, George Lucas came out and said, creating magic is not for amateurs. That's a direct dig at the billionaire investor, Nelson Peltz, who's trying to get some board seats and he's trying to, you know, push his weight around. He's like, guys, just go back to making content. Well, you see, they can't really go back to just making good content. And the reason for that is they have become so indoctrinated with all of this PC nonsense that's affecting everything they do, especially when it comes to content. Case in point, Star Wars. That would be George Lucas's stuff. Star Wars is getting a new director. Well, they have a woman who's going to run the whole franchise, and she's a feminist woman, of Palestinian descent from Canada. And she just hired this other woman, Leslie Hedgeland. Did I say that right? Anyway, I want you to take a look at her. She is LGBTQ, great and everything. But what's just interesting to me is that suddenly all of that is taking precedence over just the creation of good content, right? Like, why are we so distracted by sexuality and gender and all these things that really don't add up to necessarily creating just what the consumer wants to see? Here she is.
When I saw Frozen as a grown-ass woman, I cried through the entire movie. There was just something about the relationship between the sisters, the like de-villainization of the classic kind of fairy tale bad guy, you know, the concept of true love being between two sisters and not a heterosexual relationship. Like, it just destroyed me completely. And I thought, gosh, you know, I would love to make something like this that is, you know, for lack of a better term, Disney, meaning it's something that, like, my parents would have allowed me to see when I was younger as a queer person.
Gotcha.
But I would have been able to understand as a queer person, and I think I would have had a completely different life. And so I really was inspired by it and was like, God, I would love to make a story like this. And so when I was developing this original idea to pitch to Kathleen, I thought, well, you know, it can't just be that, you know, when you're pitching Star Wars, you have to pull from what, you know, George was also interested in. Like, it can't just be like, well, I'm referencing, especially if you're going to set something, you know, in the, during the High Republic or end of High Republic into prequels, you don't have the Skywalker saga. Like, you can't reference a character that was created by George and or Filoni. Like, you have to create your own new characters.
Okay. All right. So
when I saw Frozen,
we know where she's going with this. Bless her. You know what? You do that all you want. The problem now is you're playing with shareholders' money. And shareholders are looking at it and they're like, wait a second. Oh my gosh. My Disney shares were worth $200 just 3 years ago, and now they're worth $100. So that's why people like Nelson Peltz, who are coming in saying, hey, Disney, do this, do that. That's why they have a leg to stand on, because Disney is so focused on what Leslie was talking about. And listen, I have no problem with it. You do you all day long. But when you becomes and you as a minority are suddenly becoming the thrust of the entertainment division, and that's all you care about. And believe me, all the employees at Disney, that's what they care about. This PC nonsense, then you're going to have problems. And you know what? It's bad for shareholders. It's a big part of why I created 76 Research. It's a natural time to give a little plug here for 76. 76research.com. I encourage you to go over and check out the website, because this is what we're talking about here, ladies and gentlemen. They're actually hurting you, the individual investor, with all the woke nonsense, because, okay, great. You know what? You want to hire a diverse workforce. Can you hire maybe diverse thinking people? I mean, great. Man, woman, you've got transgender, lesbian, gay. What? Go on. Do it all you want. But the problem is, if everybody thinks alike, and everyone does, if everyone's part of this woke nonsense, that's how I feel about it. You actually need people who think it's nonsense in order for this to ever work. But if you don't do that, then you're not going to have content that people actually want to see. So 76research.com, it's a research outlet for investors, everyday investors just like you, who are trying to get the truth, frankly. And look, it's not always easy to get. And another plug for our good friends at Americans for Prosperity, because they also are trying to do this. I'm telling you guys, you know what? If Donald Trump wins, and I think right now he's got a really, really, really good shot at it, believe me. If he wins this thing, and I've looked at the math, and the math is increasingly in his favor, then we need to make sure that it's not just him there all by his onesies, right? You need to make sure that you get the Senate and you get the House, and then you can get policies through that actually are going to matter to people, so that we can keep inflation under control, so then we get the border under control, so that we have international trade agreements that actually make sense, and we're not stuck in this breakdown where it's tit for tat all the time. And so this is what Americans for Prosperity is committed to doing. AmericansForProsperity.org. Go there, check them out, sign up, because I am telling you, we've got to be careful as a nation right now. If he wins, and again, I think he will, I think there's an opportunity for tremendous growth economically, in terms of the overall health of the country. I think actually we could be in a really good place, because he's got the right ideas on policy and the right team around him for policy. But in order to get these things through, you got to have not just the Oval Office, you got to have the Senate, you got to have Congress. And so this is what Americans for Prosperity gets. Go check them out, AmericansForProsperity.org. So I told you about Melania, right? Melania Trump, weighing in briefly, ladies and gentlemen. And it was caught on camera, and she was asked, Mrs. Trump, what do you think? You know, are you up for doing some campaigning? And I want to share with you her reaction. Melania Trump being asked about the campaign, weighing it. You know, we haven't seen her a lot, right? We haven't seen her. She's been kind of keeping a low profile. She did do something at Mar-a-Lago quite recently, with the head of state who was visiting, and they, you know, they played like Pretty Woman, and she came in. It was really quite a scene because she was quite striking, and that went over well. But she just hasn't been out on the campaign trail. And look, I think she's gotten burned, right? Like, I mean, it can't be fun to be her and to have gotten the like nonstop criticism from the mainstream media. I will say this about her. She has maintained such an elegance in the face of all that. And sometimes by saying nothing, you say so much. And I think that's really been her way of dealing with it. I have a friend who knows her well, has known her for a long time, and said, there is just no one nicer, no one sweeter. And this is a direct quote. And this was actually, she told me this back in 2016. She said, I have never heard Melania say a bad word about anyone. So, wow. I mean, that just struck me as quite an endorsement. And she knew her from like the fashion circle, et cetera. But anyway, Melania Trump getting asked by reporters about whether or not she's going to be on the campaign trail. And let's watch her here.
Mrs. Trump, are you going to return to the campaign trail with your husband?
Stay tuned.
Mrs. Trump, okay. Are you going to...
It was short, I told you. Like I said, she's of very few words. Stay tuned. She's done a few things. I did see her recently giving a speech on coming to America. It was actually one of the speeches that, you know, people were being made U.S. citizens, so they were getting their citizenship. It was in D.C., and it was really unique and interesting and special. And I think part of the message there was at that time, look, you can come here. Legally, you can do this the right way. And we do want people. She is an immigrant herself. He married 2 out of 3 immigrants, interestingly enough. So when they say, oh, you know, he doesn't like foreigners, etc., I think his point sort of goes back to we need a system that works, and we want to know who we're taking in and why we're taking them in, because it has to be the right thing for our country. And if you're taking in people who have criminal backgrounds, or if you're just taking in people and you don't even know who's here, like, let's assume they're the greatest people in the world. Well, then you want them, right? But don't you want them to be part of the system? And don't you want it to be done on the up and up so that everybody is kosher in this manner? It's better for them. It's better for us. So you've got to reform it in some way, shape, or form. I mean, it has to happen. It really does. It has to happen. And he's all over it. And it's driving the left absolutely crazy, especially as you see all of these polls, which increasingly over and over again show us one thing and one thing only. That Donald Trump is the predicted winner in 2024. November 5th, that's the day, right, to watch. And somebody over in the White House right now is watching it, and he's really freaking out. I'm going to share with you some excerpts from this story that just came out. And this is really incredible, guys. Joe Biden is getting mad. Joe Biden is not happy. Joe Biden, quote, behind the scenes, has grown angry and anxious about re-election effort. I'm going to quote here from NBC News. Biden locked up the Democratic nomination last week, but looking ahead to the general election, anxiety has seemed to increase. They say he's getting really pretty angry. And I quote again, that he's believing that he had to be doing what was right despite the political fallout. This is after he went to a battleground state and was told he was probably not going to win it, right? So this is a private meeting that had him, quote, seething, per NBC News. He was in the White House in January, and allies of the president had just told him his poll numbers in Michigan and Georgia had dropped over his handling of the war between Israel and Hamas. And so he needs Michigan and he needs Georgia. So he's really upset right now because he cannot afford, quote, any backsliding if he is once again going to defeat Donald Trump. So according to this article, he began to shout and swear. He believed he had been doing what was right despite the political fallout. When asked about the episode, Andrew Bates, a White House spokesman, said, quote, President Biden makes national security decisions based on the country's national security needs alone, no other factor. Really? You think no other factor? Because I'm kind of thinking that maybe there was a method to the madness behind having Kamala out in front saying, oh, you know, we're really upset about how Israel is acting. Because in the beginning, if you think about it, wasn't Biden totally pro-Israel? And then all of a sudden started to shift, started to turn? Why was it shifting and turning so much? I think I know why, unfortunately. I think that the poll numbers showed him that this was not playing in Peoria, literally. And so he started to say, okay, now I'm getting tougher on Israel, et cetera, et cetera. And so that continued. Now, I want to point this out because this is very interesting. He's got an approval rating of 38%. Now, remember that, 38%. I want to tell you where Trump was at this stage ahead of his reelection efforts. Trump was at 48%. So he's 10 points behind where Donald Trump was at a similar time in the election cycle ahead of 2020. George H.W. Bush, another, you know, he didn't get a second term, 39%. So he's right down there with Bush. Think about that. And that's very interesting, ladies and gentlemen. Jimmy Carter, 43%. So Biden's the bottom of the barrel. He's doing worse than Bush and worse than Carter, both one-term presidents. So he's upset. He's like, well, why can't I get any credit for the economy? What's going on? Why is nobody like saying Bidenomics is working? And we know why. We know why. Because, hey, guess what, buddy? Inflation's up. I almost said 17. It's 18. It's probably greater than 18% right now. 18%, while wages are up 15% and change. So you see, nobody feels very good about things because they have less money and they realize the cost of everything just keeps going up, up, up and away. And so no, Biden, you're not going to get any credit. And if your speechwriters were any intelligent human beings at all, they would actually try and tone down some of your nonsense on Bidenomics. But no, he's going all in. He just did another speech today. He's trying to work this whole class warfare nonstop. And hey, when class warfare doesn't work, you can always rely on your friends over at MSNBC to try this little number.
But Republican voters don't vote that way. They don't vote based on economics or based on the benefits they're getting economically from the president. They're increasingly, from the Tea Party on, they're voting on race. They're voting on this idea of an invasion of brown people over the border. The idea that they can't get whatever job they want. A black person got it. Therefore, drive all the blacks out of the colleges. Get rid of DEI. That is what they're voting on. They're just voting specifically on racial animus. Which, at this stage, it isn't about economics.
No.
No. Sorry. You know what? It is economics. Economics. It is economics, my dear. Okay? Pretty plain and simple. You get a lot of Republican voters out there and a lot of independent voters that are saying, my life is not as good now as it was once before. Why? Inflation. And so as a result of that, the more you sit there and say, hey, Bidenomics is working, the more you say that, the more everybody's like, okay, you're totally losing it, mister. Right? And so are all the talking heads that want to go along with this. So now they're trying to change the narrative and they're saying, okay, like, you're just a bad person. You are a bad person if you vote for anyone other than Joe Biden. I don't think that's going to play in Peoria either. I think people are looking back with some form of nostalgia saying, gee, my life was a heck of a lot better then. Just look at all of the polls. Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, all of the polls show you when it comes to the economy, when it comes to border, when it comes to international relations, you're talking 20, 30 points difference between where Biden and Donald Trump are. People are like, okay, 20 points for Trump ahead. And so then when you get to the final numbers, you're, okay, who are you going to vote for? If he's only ahead 3, 5, 8 points, well, I think you need to go deeper into those polls because he has a tendency to not poll as well. So when he's up 5, that means he's up a lot more. And you look at those individual issues and it sort of proves it out. People are willing to say, you know what? I'm okay on this. I'm okay. You know, I think he's better. He did a better job handling the economy, did a better job handling the border, et cetera, et cetera. But then when they, okay, are you going to vote for him? They get a little bit nervous. So it's a battle for Joe. And he knows he absolutely risks losing it all. So then you go back to, okay, are they going to just be better organized? Well, Joe's got another problem right now by way of none other than Miss Lara Trump. Lara Trump is coming in to run the RNC. You know, she just took over and she's not taking any prisoners. She's a really serious woman. She's a very smart woman. She and her husband are terrific people. And I'll tell you this, like she runs a lot of triathlons and she likes to win. And this is a kind of triathlon, and I know she wants to win. And she knows that you got to be logical because they're playing a game. And if we don't all sort of embrace that in legal ways, then what happens? Well, we've seen it, right, before. So here's Lara Trump on the issue, and she's totally remaking the RNC.
The RNC needs to be the leanest, most lethal political fighting machine we've ever seen in American history. That is the goal over the next 9.5 months. If I am elected to this position, I can assure you there will not be any more $70,000 or whatever exorbitant amount of money it was spent on flowers. Every single penny will go to the number one and the only job of the RNC. That is electing Donald J. Trump as president of the United States and saving this country. We have no time to waste. We've got to get to work. We've got a lot of money to raise. And we need to ensure that every penny goes to those things that I just mentioned. Otherwise, you're right, in perpetuity, the Democrats are going to beat us.
So a few things going on there, right? Everybody's like, well, it should be in-person voting only. And I get it. And everybody should have an ID. I get it. Okay, I think we're all in agreement on that. But the reality is the other side isn't playing by that set of rules. So you can change the rules eventually. But you're going to have to win in order to change them. I've seen this play out in none other than some crazy banana republic countries, right? Venezuela, the opposition there is like, oh, well, we're never going to win. We're never going to win. We can't win because they've stacked the odds against us in these various ways. And they take their ball and go home. We can't take our ball and go home, right? We actually have to win this thing. So having her there and having her sidekick there, Whatley there, I'm very hopeful that we can do some of the things that we just haven't done before. And it's really important that we do. Oh my gosh, I want to get to all your questions. We just hit 20,000 on the live stream. So this is incredible. Make sure that you give a thumbs up. Make sure that you comment. Make sure that you share as much as you can. And make sure, for goodness sakes, make sure you're subscribed. Do me that favor. I want to get out to some of your comments in just a moment. But ahead of that, just this weird stuff on Kate Middleton. I'll tell you know what? I really am not interested in the royal family at all. Like, I think it's kind of arcane and, hey, you know what? We won the Revolutionary War, right? I mean, I'm really not into this. I can't stress that enough. But I do like Kate Middleton. I think she's a classy girl, as we say. And I think that it's unfortunate whatever's going on with her is so extraordinarily public. But I guess that's what you sign up for, right, when you're married to the next King of England. So take a look. And just let me back up. She was seen recently. So this is great. She was seen. Like, she's live, because people are starting to wonder, especially after that photo mishap where there was an editing glitch and her hand looked like it wasn't really her hand. We didn't know what was going on. There was some talk about the trees behind her being in full bloom or almost in full bloom. And that didn't really seem right for this time of year. So people were like, oh my gosh, is she okay? Is she okay? So it seems that she's okay. Here's the video that came out. TMZ, leave it to TMZ, has it. And I'm just showing you, see her there walking with her husband, and they went to some farm shop and got some groceries, and they're walking out, and she looks good. She looks healthy. She looks happy. And so the hope is that, oh, now it slows down. So you can see in slow motion. The hope is that this will kind of just put everybody at ease and people can stop freaking out about where she is. Where is Kate Middleton? Everybody has been asking this question. And one royal observer told the Daily Mail something kind of interesting. Let me see if I can pull this for you. Yeah. He said, nice to hear Kate is doing well, but he's sort of making this point that it's actually going to make it worse. He said to the Daily Mail, quote, that Kate's appearance suggests panic at the palace. Just as last week's furor has died down, they allowed her to reignite all the questions about her health, which should remain private. Her advisors clearly can't decide what their strategy should be or agree on it with the Waleses. If they carry on like this, ducking and weaving, it will end badly. So they were like, okay, she's not going to be seen until Easter, and that's when she'll be back. And now she was seen. But, you know, maybe it's innocent enough. She was just going to the grocery store with her husband. And then they just told a reporter about it so that it could get captured on video and you could all see it so that you hopefully would be more rested and assured that, you know, she's still okay. Another story just breaking right now. She's apparently at the center of this huge security breach because staff at the hospital that treated her for this abdominal condition are being accused of attempting to access her private medical records without permission. So that's kind of frightening. Bosses of the London Clinic, I'm quoting the Daily Mail, which has all things British for you. They're pretty good on American politics as well, but they're all over the royal scandal. Bosses of the London Clinic, where the Princess of Wales underwent planned abdominal surgery in January, quote, launched the investigation after it was claimed at least one member of the staff tried to access the royal's notes. One insider at the hospital said of the alleged breach, quote, this is a major security breach and incredibly damaging for the hospital, given its unblemished reputation for treating members of the royal family. I'm telling you, like, this world is crazy, right? Like, nobody gets any privacy anymore whatsoever. You just don't have it. And cameras are everywhere. They get their cell phones out. I think this might have been a little bit more planned than that. But nonetheless, you've got the medical staff there, quote, that have been left utterly shocked and distraught over the allegations and very hurt that a trusted colleague could have allegedly been responsible for such a breach of trust and ethics, they are saying. Now, Kate is said to have been made aware of this, and through a spokesperson for Kensington Palace said this is a matter for the London Clinic. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. And where's Meghan in all this? Oh, Meghan has a new line, a lifestyle line. I guess it's designed to rival Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop. All the news you need to know, right? Yeah, she's coming out with that. It's got some really bizarre name. Let me see if I can remember this. It may take me a minute because I don't think I can remember it, which is not a good sign for a company that has a new name, right? Thank you very much. Something about an apple orchard, right? Riviera, American Riviera Orchard. Is that not the weirdest thing you've ever heard? So she's coming out with her new line. You know, Kate is going through something, unfortunately. And I'll tell you, I'd take Kate any day over the other one. I want to go out to some of your comments. Oh, before I do, thank you. Well, I see some of them right now. Thank you. Yes, I had a wonderful, 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 wonderful vacation. You know, there's something to be said for a little R&R. They're not for a little rest and relaxation. I loved it. I was with my family. I was on the beach down in Florida, in Miami, and the weather was incredible. So thank you for the kind comments. I want to give a shout out to our friends over at Balance of Nature, who I also credit with me looking good these days. Balanceofnature.com. I take my fruits and veggies capsules every single day religiously. I've been doing this for a number of months now, and I feel better. I have more energy. I'm finally getting my fruits and veggies because I'm not really good about, I'm more of a protein person, so I don't really eat as many fruits and veggies as I should. And if I'm going to have something sweet, I'm like, let me go for the chocolate cake. Do I really have to have an apple? So I think this has been a very influential and good thing for me, Trish Regan. Balanceofnature.com is their website. You can call them at 1-800-246-8751. If you're interested, make sure you use my name, Trish, because you will get 35% off plus another $10 off plus free shipping. And so I don't think I've seen a deal like that anywhere else. I want only the best for you guys. So take a look, balanceofnature.com. I'm telling you, I feel really, really good. And you know what? I'm not the only one, because they've been in business some 20 years. And I was looking at the testimonials on their website. Great, great story to this company, by the way. I encourage you to go to the website and check it out. They've been in business for so long, and they've had so many wonderful things said about them. Just thousands of people writing in. And so you can check it out. I'm now one of them. Anyway, balanceofnature.com, 1-800-246-8751 is the number, but make sure you use my name, code word Trish, to get the discount. As I was saying, though, there's a lot going on right now, a lot going on. And I think in this political world right now, it's a lot at stake. I mean, we are really looking at times unlike no other. And I think you guys get that. It's just another reminder to make sure, above all, that you indeed like this, subscribe to this, and share this. It's really, really, really important. Just going out to some of your comments right now. Yeah, I had a wonderful vacation. I really did. And I was down in an area in Miami called Bal Harbor, which is just terrific. We used to go there when I was a little kid, and I have fond memories of it and was glad to be back, and most glad for all that sun. Not that I tan very much. It's a rare thing when you see me pretty tan, and the reason for that is my very Irish skin. Let me see here. Just again, pulling up some of these comments from all of you. Wow, like, these are huge numbers. I don't think I've ever seen numbers like this, you guys. Oh, I should go on vacation more often, right? Is that all it takes? Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Anyway, again, wonderful to see all of this. We are looking at some really, really large numbers. A reminder too, you can get the audio version of this podcast on Apple Podcasts, where we are every day. So clearly. Okay. Taking a look here. Ian, great to see you again. David, and Don, I can rely on my regulars. Don, it seems like it's probably really past your bedtime, because I know where you are, but overseas anyway. I need like the Disney story, right? That's a big one. James, welcome. Stu, welcome. Barry, all of you guys. Mike as well. I like Florida. I mean, I'll take the humidity, Mike. I'll take the humidity any day of the week over the cold. I'm okay with humidity. I mean, it does a little number on my hair, but hey, I think you all saw that. I did try and do a live from Miami, and we had some audio issues, unlike none other before, but you were all very patient. I think we still got the message across. Steve, good to see you. All of you. Melissa, welcome back. A lot of you actually were messaging me while I was down there saying, I live at the, you were guessing it and you got it right. You're like, are you in Florida? I live in Florida. And I was in Florida, and I came back today, and I rushed to get on air with you guys, because it is just important. Listen, we are in some really precarious times, and I cannot stress enough how important it is to get the actual truth out there. There aren't a lot of outlets right now that are reporting the truth. There aren't outlets that want to tell you the truth in any way. And so I am dedicated to this, and I'm here, come rain, come shine, and committed to this for all of you. So thank you again for being here. Huge numbers. Don, are we at 1,000 yet? 953 likes. I think, look, did we get to 1,000? Don, I'm counting on you to let me know. We have been just getting so many views here on this channel. It's been terrific. If you're watching on Twitter, wonderful. We're live on Twitter. We're live on Rumble. We're live on Facebook as well. But I'm watching the chat in real time here on YouTube. Pensacola, Florida. See, I knew there were some Floridians out there. I love Miami. Yep. Mr. Rodriguez, Miami it's just fantastic. It's fantastic. Yes, we've got, okay, good. We got 1,000. So thank you for that. Zero glass. Anyway, we just hit it. David, awesome. Way to go, you guys. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you again. Hey, I want to also put it in the chat. If you haven't signed up, you probably have, because you guys are my loyal best. But if you haven't, go and get the free research at 76research.com. Yeah, I think I typed that right. It is my new website. I'm so proud of it. I'm working so hard on it. It has been a passion of mine for so long because I feel like everyday investors get so badly taken advantage of, both by the media and the political institutions and, of course, Wall Street itself, that has its own spin and its own sort of book that it's always trying to promote. And I'm like, enough with it. Enough with it. I've wanted to do this for years. I finally teamed up with a dear, dear friend who spent the last 25 years on Wall Street. And I was like, if I'm going to do this, I got a lot of big macro ideas. I want it to be supported by the right kind of financial evidence. And so Rob Horton and I teamed up. It's fantastic. There's so much free information on there. So go to 76research.com, free information. And if you sign up for it, it's like $9.95 a month. I think it's probably the best $9.95 you're ever going to spend on anything, because you're going to get some of our picks in there, some of our ideas for long-term investors that care about building wealth in the future. And hey, with everything going on, you know you need to be able to count on yourself. So I'll leave you with that. Thank you so much. John's out in Vegas. I like Vegas too. I have a different kind of vibe, of course, and no ocean, but I do like Vegas as well. Hey, listen, thank you all. I will see you again right back here tomorrow.